In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lillian, Brody, Breyer, and Russell, today is a big day for you. It is Confirmation Sunday, and you are here to confess your faith before God, this Christian congregation, and publicly before the world. You are to confess your faith in the triune God who has created you, who has redeemed you, who has purchased and won you from all sin and from death. You're here to profess your desire that because of his great salvation in Christ Jesus, that you wish to diligently use the means of grace and conform your life to his word. Today is a big day for you, but despite all appearances, it is not at all like a graduation. Yes, you are wearing robes. Yes, you walked down the aisle. Yes, you will receive a certificate. But unlike graduation, confirmation does not really mark the end of anything or the beginning of something new. It does not mark the passing away of the old and the beginning of a new adventure. Instead, it is one more step on a journey that you began long ago. And God willing, a journey that you will continue until your death. It is more a marker, a signpost along the way than it is a gate or a door from one place to another. What is more significant will be your admittance to the altar, that this morning heaven and her king will descend to meet you, and you will ascend into the Holy of Holies. You will come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to the innumerable angels and festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a word better than the blood of Abel. Indeed, today, Christ our King, King of kings, Lord of lords, descends in his body and his blood to earth upon this altar to give himself to you as heavenly food. Now, the fact that confirmation is not the end of something or the beginning of something new, however, does not detract from its importance. The fact that it is only one step along a long, lifelong journey makes it radically countercultural. Ours is an age that revels in the new, in change, and in revolution, a casting off of the old for the sake of a utopian future. New clothes, the latest tech and gadgets, perhaps a new marriage or even a new gender. The very facticity of life is rejected. Thankfulness for what we have received is gone. And what is left is a lost and a confused generation. Yea, even a wicked generation. No moorings, no bearings, no custom, no roles, no duties are left to define us. Having cast off everything that we perceive as oppressive, we are not freer, but slaves to our own passions, living in our small and pitiful little subjective worlds. We are wrapped up in ourselves, and a man wrapped up in himself is a small package indeed. We each seek our own truth, we do what is right in our own eyes, and are caught in an infinite cycle of creation and recreating ourselves. And this is a spiritual sickness. It is the fruit of that original sin in which man rebelled and rejected against his creator, seeking to be like a god himself. And I hate to break it to you, confirmands, and I hate to break it to you, brothers and sisters, but you make a pitiful god. And what is the result? Is it human flourishing? People living their best lives in spiritual enlightenment? No, it's destruction. It's self-destruction. The destruction of those around you, bodies destroyed, minds destroyed, families torn apart, depression and anxiety at historically unprecedented rates, and spiritual slavery. What Peter says is true of all ages, but it is particularly true and acute in our own. All flesh is like grass in its glory, like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls. Every change, each recreation of ourself blooms for a moment, but soon withers and the flower dies. A life of ceaseless change until that moment when the grass grows no more and the flower blooms no more. In our freedom from God, our life follows the course of an aimless speck of dust, carried along by every eddy of wind, guided by nothing but our futile will. Our rebellion brings not life and light, but death and night, an inexorable deathward drift from futile birth. And thus it is that the Apostle Peter cries out to us across time, save yourselves from this crooked generation. A change, a revolution, a new state of being is needed, but it will not be wrought by you. It will not be wrought by you because you do not have the power and because you are no God. This salvation, this change must come from outside of us. It must come from the true God. And Lillian, Brody, Russell, and Briar, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, that revolution has come. That salvation has come. Christ the Word has broken into this house of death. He has breathed our poison air, and he drank that cup of dark despair, and he trod the road that leads back to God. The grass withers, the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. He remains forever. Know that you are ransomed from the feudal ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. You are ransomed, you are purchased, you are freed from that aimless, deathward, futile slavery by the blood of Christ. And this was all according to God's great plan and love for you before the very foundation of the world. Christ himself partook of our flesh and blood, that through death he might deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. He had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Christ has suffered. Christ has been tempted so that he could be your foundation and your rock, your guiding light and your salvation in the tumults of this world. You do not need to recreate yourself. You do not need to define your own reality because God has done it. He has done it for you. Indeed, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. You have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God. The abiding and living Word, who is Christ himself, lives in you, not to spring up and wither, not to bloom and fall, but as the vine and that source of infinite and eternal life, not shifting, not changing, but his righteousness, his life, is an image of the immortal and unchanging God, and is the image to which you are being conformed. This Jesus, whom you crucified with your sins and your rebellion, God has made both Lord and Christ. He has died and he is raised, and your fate is his fate. Resurrection, life, immortality, and light. Your journey to life does not begin today. It began when you were born again of water and the Spirit in the waters of holy baptism. Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, that which is born of spirit is spirit." St. Paul also says, "All of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his." And Peter preached on Pentecost. "Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is for you and for your children." You have received the forgiveness of sins. You have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. You have been born again of the Holy Spirit. You have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of the imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God. Confirmation is not graduation. It is not a transition from one state to another. That was baptism. In your baptism, Paul says, he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. On that day, your journey began. Confirmation against the spirit of the age is not about recreation. It is not about redefining yourself, but about receiving the gift of God that defines you. It is about the virtue, not of change, but of faithfulness, of steadfastness, and endurance even in times of trouble. It is a vow that with the help of the Holy Spirit who dwells in you, with the help of the power of Christ which dwells in you, that you will not depart from the road that leads to God. That you have girded yourself with the armor of God and are ready to rebel against this present evil age with your life. Ready to rebel against this present evil age with your life, because your life is hidden in Christ the risen one. That you will rebel with your life against the perverse sexual immorality and destruction of the family. That you will declare, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." That you will rebel with your life against greed and the lust for power, declaring, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." That you will rebel with your life, your Christ-given life, against the accusations of the devil, declaring, "Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies." That you will rebel with your Christ-given life against death, declaring, "He is risen."
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Confirmation is a vow that in this world of change and decay, you will trust the one who changes not. That you have faith in the one who is always faithful. And Christ promises you, "I am with you always to the end of the age." And where should we look for him? Where should we find our strength? We recognize Jesus in the same place as those Emmaus disciples did, in the breaking of the bread. For here on the altar, he, the risen Christ, descends from the realms of endless day to vanquish hell and clear the darkness. Today, Lillian, Brody, Russell, and Briar, for the first time, I bid you come, take, eat, drink the true body of our Lord and Savior and the true blood of our Lord and Savior given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Amen. May rise for the offertory.